Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. And my co-host today is Marlene Levy. And we're having a conversation with Lynn Dobrin, who is also a writer. So, I mean, first of all, the first part of this, she's telling us about the trips she has taken and the food she has eaten. And really, it's unbelievable that I've never met a person, you know, and I know many people that have traveled here and traveled there, but you've traveled almost food-wise.
Yeah.
From, you know, the experience you've had, you're willing to try the stuff.
Food is a way into a culture.
You're right, actually. Yeah, it is, yeah. Because when you come over here, you're on Long Island, we just talked a little bit at the break, you can have some, whatever you want, Chinese, Indian, Persian, whatever. But unless it's done by authentic cooks, mm-hmm. It's just Americanized. It's a hamburger with some, you
still
know,
pretty good,
spices.
but not authentic. Yeah.
But I do want to digress a little bit because you're also going to be doing an article now with Westbury Times.
Well, here's
what is that about?
Here's what I do. I've narrowed my food focus to writing. I write a column for the Westbury Times called Cultural Cook-Up.
Okay.
I have a strong connection with the Islamic Center of Long Island.
Oh.
They're right down the road from me. And I, you know, seeing what's going, I'm an activist, which is a whole other thing to talk about. But seeing the way people feel about people, Islamic people, Muslims, I said to my editor at the Westbury Times, I said, how about a column about the food customs of the people from the Islamic Center? And she said, write about the people in Westbury, my community, mm-hmm. Westbury and Newcastle. So I started doing that. The column is called Cultural... I do the Islamic Center, of course, too.
Right.
The column is called Cultural Cook-Up, and I have done... It's once a month, and I've done 40 of them so far.
Wow.
And what we were saying about diversity and food, your neighbors, get to know the people around you. And go to places where you're not, where everybody isn't like you. Go to places where you're different. I like being a minority.
Okay.
I like being the only or one of a few in something. Because then people are more relaxed because you're in their territory. You're not in your own. And you learn things. You learn things about who they are, what they love, and what they eat. And that's the part
I find
all these people. The one I just finished is about a guy in my community. He's a fireman, and he just fixed up a pizza truck. And he is going to go around to events.
Has he gone around already?
He just started. He's done one in Westbury so far. The truck was just outfitted in August, I think. And that's going to be my next article.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a smart idea. Because those food truck things, they work.
And he loves it. He loves feeding people.
Right, okay.
Those Italians love feeding people.
Yeah. But where does the Islamic census coming in? Actually, I drove by it the other day. The landscaping is gorgeous.
Oh, they take...
Oh, my God. I mean, because...
Shout out to Habib.
The season is coming to the end. No, I know Habib and Ishmael, but I'm just saying that it's like I drove by it and... You know, lots of flowers are dying, and I looked at theirs. I'm saying, my God, what have they done?
They want
up the stairs, it's
good
beautiful.
Members of the community.
They are.
And I did an event for them in August for the Eid al-Adha, which is the second holiest day in the Islamic calendar, a food event where it was free, and we had 225 people. And through my column and through the mosque, we had about 20 different kinds of food that people presented. We had Ethiopia, Italian.
People brought it.
And here's what happens with
food. Is this going to be every year?
Yes, I'll give you the date. I wanted it to be every other year because it's exhausting. Here's how generous people can be. I could hardly sleep the week before because I said, there's not going to be enough food.
Yeah, right. Of course, I get to that.
Fishes and loaves. people just brought, everybody brought more than they said they were going to bring. So we not only had time for people to have seconds, but people were able to bring home food, too. It was such a generous...
What's the holiday?
Eid, E-I-D, Al, I think it's I-L, Ada, A-D-H-A. In the Jewish tradition, it's the, when Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac.
Oh, okay.
It's two important days for Jews and Muslims. So okay. What else do we want to talk about? How much time we have?
That's all we have, like
oh,
7 minutes.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm going by you. Marlene?
Okay, I'm just thinking of what my mind is spinning right now, thinking about all the different foods and the different travel and the holiday and the mosques. And
actually, yeah, go ahead.
Actually, what?
I was going to get into you and holidays here in this country.
Yes.
What? Oh, I love holidays.
So and, what's and your favorite holiday and tell me what you, I mean, Thanksgiving
you
is
prepare,
pretty traditional.
What, do you prepare a traditional Thanksgiving or
my,
do you go?
I passed it on to my niece, Amy. She said, Aunt Lynn, can I do Thanksgiving? Because I had always claimed Thanksgiving. I said, yeah, I'm tired of it. You know, I'll bring something.
You bring. What would you bring to a Thanksgiving dinner?
Whatever Amy wants me to bring.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can you come to my Thanksgiving, too?
Sure. If it's not on Thanksgiving, I'll come.
I'll make it another day if you'll do the cooking.
I'm not that good. I'm good at eating. I'm not the best. I'm a good baker. And this is, again, something for old people.
I hate bacon. Because bacon requires...
No, baker.
A good baker. Baker requires measurements. See, I can cook, and I can cook pretty well. But
right.
You can just throw in this, a half an ounce, or maybe an ounce. It still works. Baking, if you put 2 ounces when it's only supposed
forget
to be
it.
One, you're done.
You forget it, absolutely.
So, I mean, baking is
but
tough.
But, you know,
on
for this is a program for seniors. I learned baking from older people. I learned from my grandparents, who were great bakers. But there was, one of my grandmothers lived in Long Beach, and there was a woman across the street. I don't know how old she was. To me, she was old. And she would have me over, and we would make gingerbread cookies and things. We did that together. Now, I remember this how many years later?
Mm-hmm.
70 years later.
Right.
It was a nurturing thing. I mean, there's lots that we can do, even if, we're not. I'm still working. I work for the Adelphi New York State Breast Cancer Hotline.
Oh, okay.
I do PR for the hotline. But there's so much we can do still.
You just brought something to mind. From my parents, I learned how to make hommentaschen and to roll out the dough and make a honey dough. And for my children, I had them fill it with whatever filling they wanted.
Oh, what they put in it.
A graham, a grape jam and strawberry jam and I forgot the...
Nutella.
They didn't want the Nutella, but they didn't want the prune. The prune, which I like, of course.
That's
traditional. They looked at the prune like, you got to be kidding. I'm not putting that in there, and I'm not eating it. But they passed it down to my grandchildren.
Sure.
I have 4 grandchildren. Now the grandchildren can't wait, and they're rolling out the hommentaschen, just like you're saying.
Yep.
They roll it out, and they make it out, and they make their little crowns.
Yep.
And now they fill it in with what they like to fill it in. And that's going to be passed on, these food traditions, like I'm sure in all the countries and all your travels, the elders pass down the traditions of certain baked goods, too.
Right.
Am I correct?
Well, I was going to tell the Ugali story, right?
Go ahead.
Ugali is a staple food in Kenya, primarily in the area that we were living in, southwestern Kenya. I had women, when I was in the Peace Corps, women coming to the house, and we did a cooking exchange. They wanted to learn how to make something for guests, so I taught them how to make banana fritters. Mm. And I said, I want to taste ugali. Now, ugali is a grain, a dish made either of maize or millet, and it's cooked till it's very, very thick, like polenta. It's put in the middle of the table, and you take pieces of it, and you mix it with vegetables that have been cooked or some kind of meat. Well, they put it in front of me. I took a big piece.
Like a mashed potato.
But thicker. Very thick. And I put a big piece in my mouth, and I thought I was going to choke to death. And all these women, like my 14 women at the house, are watching me as I'm chewing this, trying to swallow this paste to me. I hated it, but I kept eating it. I said, this is, everybody eats this. I've got to learn how to eat this. Fast forward to when we were living in Kenya again, I learned to love ugali. And the way you would eat it, I hope I have time to tell the story. Because this was an experience we had with a meal that was so wonderful. It was one of the most memorable meals in my life. we were visiting our friends, Joshua and Rayidi, who we've known. They took us under their wings when in 1965. They're still alive, both of them. They were about 10 years older than us. And we were in their little house with no electricity. And the ugali was brought into the room. We had all communally washed our hands. A basin was passed around with soap and water. And it was quiet, and it was candlelit, and people were like murmuring. And I looked, and I said, this is biblical. This is like, this is so wonderful, the way we're eating right now in with such community.
Did you choke time?
Right. What?
Was that the first time you ate?
No, this is the second time.
Okay.
This is when I've gotten used to ugali. I did not. No, I don't choke anymore.
Can you make that here?
Could you
can make that here.
I have somebody who can make it.
Oh, how wonderful. Is there a restaurant or something where people
only
in the city
in
that you could go into?
In New Jersey there's one. There's one in New Jersey. But the other part of this story about culture is you eat ugali with your hands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why you all wash your hands together. So we were in Nairobi, and I decided to order ugali in a restaurant. And I only knew about eating ugali with my hands. So we're eating this. And eventually the chef comes out of the kitchen and he walks up to us and looks down and smiles because he heard these two white people were eating ugali with their hands. Nobody eats ugali with their hands
sure
in Nairobi, but we didn't know. We were the country yokels
who were
eating the ugali that way. So I learned to love it. You eat it with greens, cooked greens. Very delicious.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Would you eat a protein? Would you have a fish or would you have a
you
meat
could.
Or poultry or something?
You don't
like
have
that?
To.
Like, that's the meal itself.
That's the meal. You could have a meat stew, like a chicken stew from some scrawny old chicken that had lived a very long
Not
life.
Not a dead shark or anything, no.
Not a rotten shark. Rotten.
Oh, God. Well, it better be a dead shark. a dead rotten shark.
I have eaten live ants in Belize.
That's enough. We've had a nice conversation
here. Time is up.
It was very minty.
Minty?
Really?
I'm glad it was minty little
that
ants.
It was eating like, okay, you have to end this, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, but minty. Okay, that's
okay,
it.
Minty
Lynn,
ants.
I want to thank you so much. You're going to have to come back again. This
okay.
Was, this
I
was
have,
entertaining.
I have hardly told you anything.
So many times when people come on, you only touch the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
And you were entertaining, and you have so much more. We've been listening to Lynn Dobrin, who is just a food extraordinaire. I don't know what you call but
Minty
it was
Ants.
My pleasure. Now you're our friend.
Minty Ants, I'm going
We're listening to
Minty
Senior
Ants.
Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.